times, and they could not give us even one line against Anwar.
Then I said, Fareed, we only have 1 minute left in the broadcast.
Why you listen to them? Okay. Anyway, regarding Al-Ma'gala, Masqa, in fact, it was, I mean, a big shame and big blame on the Americans and on the American government and on our government in Yemen. I was one of the first people to arrive there. What I have seen, I have not seen in my life, and I didn't think I will ever see, even if it is like a Third World War. Those people were living in a small valley, only 2 kilometers from the tarmac road. We drove easily. We reached after 10 minutes to the site easily. And our minister of interior at that time, when they asked him why you did not capture them, he said they live in high mountains like Tora Bora. We could not reach them, which is big falls. And when we reached there, we were hundreds and then thousands of people. We saw the flesh of the bodies of those people mixed with the meat of the cows and sheep and goats. Honestly, we could only find very, very few whom we can recognize. And we, it was mixed with hundreds of sheep and goats. And I mean, they were all mixed together, I mean, with blood. And they got, they were bombed with about 6 or 7
Sheikh Salah bin Fareed and Nasser al-Awlaki, I want to thank you both for being with us. We're so sorry the broadcast has ended. We will continue the conversation after, posted at democracynow.org. Dirty Wars, which covers this, opens today in Washington, D.C., in Los Angeles, and in New York at the IFC and Lincoln Plaza, in Washington East Street Theater, and in at the Landmark Theater in Los Angeles. Jeremy Scahill, thanks so much for being with us. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
This is WHFR Dearborn, and now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views for Dearborn and the surrounding area. Welcome to Friday, June the 7th, 2013. I'm here in the studio. My name is Jay Koronek. I'm here with my co-host, Dennis Reimers, and this is mic check time.
Mic check. Dennis check.
There we go.
You got it? Perfect.
I think so.
Well, at least I'm totally dry this week. Last week.
Well, we had a little bit of a shuffle there at the last moment, and you were helping to get everything packed up.
Wow.
So the journal was actually inside, coming to you live from inside the Dearborn area Chamber of Commerce. Very exciting.
And yeah, and Millie Judd called it. She said we have to get inside, and she was right. Not too long after we moved inside, it just started coming down.
But anyway, it was actually 1:40, but still, we had to get everything out of there. That was the edict, and the first storm. I was correct; it missed us, but I was I didn't look far enough ahead, as many people in our society don't do.
Right.
And 40 minutes later, oh my gosh, there was no big black cloud. It was just one of those gray skies everywhere, and all of a sudden it let that downpour for 20 minutes. Well, anyway, I love live remotes. There's, and looking forward to homecoming and even, of course, Concert of Colors, where we're mostly inside, coming up first weekend in July down at the Max M. Fisher Center. And the journal won't be down there, but we will be down there broadcasting the music and interviewing all the free entertainers that will be performing down there on Saturday, July 6th, and Saturday, July 7th. And, of course, Dearborn Homecoming is August 2, 3, and 4. So that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we'll be doing, again, weather permitting, the Journal live out from Dearborn's Ford Field.
And there's, I mean, it is, it's such a great opportunity to get out. Well, Jay and I love it because as much as we love the studio, it's really nice to have the fresh air and see fresh faces. And, yeah. And people always, you know, we're kind of cool with all of our gear and being on the radio. So people, you know, tend to gravitate.
I just like talking to the listeners and mm-hmm. getting some of these politicians and other people that we don't necessarily, they don't usually wander into our studio.
No.
Unless we invite them, of course.
And even then.
Yeah, and even then. But. You know, so it's great to meet and greet, and Dearborn Homecoming has a lot of great things going on all the time, including, of course, this year, the entertainment on a Saturday night is Blues Traveler.
Who I really like.
Yeah, but technically they don't do blues like we play blues, right. But it is, are they called a jam band or something? But in any event, it's, you know.
Well, it's good music.
It's good music.
And honestly, yeah. After the tribute bands they've had, I think the last 2 years, it's nice to have original. I mean, I have nothing against a very good tribute band or cover band or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like the bands that are doing their original stuff themselves as well.
So we're getting ready for Fun in the Sun, hopefully, and maybe you are too. Today is very, very famous day in history. First of all, for Michigan, too, John Dingell today became the longest-serving U.S. congressman in the history of the U.S. Congress. He served more years in his term than any other person who's ever been a congressperson from any state. And there was a nice tribute in the Wednesday Press and Guide, June 5th, this week. Congratulations. Thank you. There was a story there, of course, about this. And it is there's going to be special ceremonies in Washington, D.C., too, to honor him. His colleagues, his peers will honor him there. And
was there anything – do you know who the next closest to him as far as longevity would
be? Yeah, it was Senator Robert C. Byrd, Democrat from West Virginia. Byrd, by the way, gave some great speeches. Of course, he was – you'd have to say racist when he was first elected,
right.
Which was 50. Well, again, what is the record? That's the question. 57 years, 5 months, and 26 days of personal service. And that means that Byrd did 57 years, 5 months, and 25 days.
Right.
And I think he died in office, Senator Byrd. But nonetheless, Byrd, in his last 2 years, by the way, gave just tremendous speeches, anti-war speeches, and for civil rights. All so right. There actually was a real shift in his perceptions of the world and
good.
Great orator. John Dingell, I've met him many times. We've interviewed him on this show and at Dearborn Homecoming several times. Here's what the New York Times said, at least in the New York Times Digest about him that came out yesterday, and that is... it says, once an imposing, gruff, and famously fearsome 6'3" tall, Dingell now occupies a diminished role and walks stooped over with a cane or wheels around on a motorized scooter. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Getting those scooters.
Whether you need
here
it or
I
not,
come.
Right?
You in favor of this bill or not? Here I come. Yes. We'll run you down if you. Yeah, ooh, but, I couldn't. Didn't hit the brake in time. I'm so sorry.
It probably maxes out at like 3 miles an hour,
yeah.
though.
But they say his mind remains sharp, and it certainly does. I heard an interview with Craig on the Craig Folly Show on WDET. You might say our sister non-commercial news radio station in Detroit. Anyway, and it certainly does. He still knows an awful lot, and he remembers a great deal of previous legislative battles and issues. And it's good to have someone that does have that perspective over time and doesn't forget certain things and how they really happened. Although, of course, the human mind, for Dingell as well as others, does tend to sort of change your memory over time and even sometimes creates things that never happened before. It's not senility, folks, or Alzheimer's. It's actually just natural for all of us to do that. And that's a little scary. I mean, thank goodness for videotape and so on.
Some of us prefer not to have the actions videotape.
Yeah, it was like John Stewart on The Daily Show this week showed a video from 2009 when Chris Christie said, You know, when elected officials leave office in midterm or whatever, you know, you should never. It's really bad government to spend $10 million or more on a special election. You know, just appoint somebody and wait for the next. So what is he doing? Yes, that's right. October, 1 month before the election in November, is spending $12 million of taxpayer money to have a special election to replace someone for only 1 month. And there's all kinds of only political reasons. No good, pragmatic, good government, saving money. So $12 million of taxpayers' money is going to no good. And we had that situation in Michigan. We've had a couple of, I can't remember what they were, but elections that are not at the right time. And
well, one was fraud.
Of course, Dearborn Heights, your whole process, Dearborn Heights is where Dennis actually has a day job for 4 days a week, since they're only open for days a week. But nonetheless, and over there, when they have a council vacancy, they have to have a special election. Well, it costs the whole city an awful lot of money in Dearborn. It's based on your charter. It's based on the city charter, how you're going to do it. But in Dearborn, we just appoint, if they want it, the next closest person, the next highest vote getter from the last election that didn't get in, and they serve temporarily. And in fact, for mayor, when Mayor Guido passed away in his term of office, I think it was the charter. Then the president pro temp of the council moves up to president, and that's what happened with John B. O'Reilly Jr.
Right.
Of course, he could have said no. I mean, you can say no if you don't want it, but you know, he decided to do it, and he's still there. So, it did point out here that Dingell. In 2008, of course, kind of sad for him. I know he's very upset after so many years in office, but his fellow Democrats ousted him from the committee chairmanship that he was on, which was so powerful, and he was therefore the top Democrat there for 30 years on the head of that chair. But the party felt that maybe you know, Dingell was an ally of the Detroit auto industry, too slow to move on environmental issues like climate change and fuel efficiency standards. He actually endorsed, as the automakers did in Michigan, no standards for fuel efficiency or no new ones, no work, because it would hurt business and therefore hurt jobs. And that was his rationale. And also, well, climate change isn't necessarily that bad. So he held out there for a long time. And so they removed him by votes from that, but he's still on the committee, and of course he has always been in favor of gun rights, which actually helps him in Michigan. He's a hunter, or was a hunter himself. I don't think he's ever shot any person like former Vice President Cheney, but
we can't hunt anymore. That scooter will hear him coming.
So he was basically in support of Second Amendment rights, and that was sort of against party position. I don't know what position he took recently when gun rights came up, because what they were suggesting is simply background checks for everyone, including at what do they call them? The
gun shows?
The gun shows, yeah.
Sure.
Was the gun festivals.
The gun fest.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, so congratulations to Representative Dingell. Will he retire now that he set the record or stay there? I think the issue is, of course, can he get around? And as long as his scooter is charged up, I bet he can. He still does travel a lot back and forth to Michigan, so they see him come in the airport. But I bet, especially because of the scooter, he probably gets priority boarding.
Oh, yeah.
So it's good to have a scooter for that reason, because I tell you, airports are, anyway, for the average person. But as long as he's able to get around and then his mind remains sharp, I'm sure somebody on his staff would tell him if he was forgetting too much or misspeaking or something. In any event, I wish him well. And I do not think that he's too old and should retire. I think that he, again, he brings that experience and knowledge that newbies just don't have. And often you need someone around, not everyone maybe, but in the Congress, but you need someone around that has that perspective. Okay, moving on. Today, the other major event today.
This is huge.
Oh, it's National Donut Day, Dennis. Yeah.
And directs that at me.
As a public service, hey, do you like those donuts? Does everybody start eating donuts over there at Dearborn Heights City Hall every morning?
I don't know. Not that I know.
The
city has no money.
Well, somebody buys them, brings them in, take up a donation from you. Anyway, in the state of Michigan, this is from MLive, so in the state of Michigan, if you can drive up to Clare, which is somewhere near north of Lansing or something.
Sure.
Anyway, the popular Cops and Donuts, that's the name of the place in Clare, will offer cake donuts for only 38 cents each today.
I think that the gas money to go up there would offset the savings.
Probably would. Now, of course, there's a website, so you can go and use your favorite search engine for National Donut Day 2013. But here's the list of donut shops that have a special that we know of other than Cops and Donuts in Clare. Crispy Creme, or cream is cream, but it looks like creme. That's KK Crispy Creme. Get a free Crispy Creme cream of your choice at all U.S. and Canadian locations.
Wow.
I think there's one in West Dearborn.
There's one on Telegraph, I think.
Okay, so just one, though, but there's no other requirement. Now, Dunkin' Donuts, and they should know donuts,
yeah,
right?
That's
you get a free donut today, but you have to buy a drink.
Okay.
Can you buy water? No.
No,
coffee. They aren't buying it. Yeah, coffee. Tim Hortons has a free donut with purchase, but it doesn't matter what you purchase, you must present a coupon.
Mm.
Yeah, so you've got to go to the Tim Hortons Facebook page to find that.
Hmm.
So it's an awful lot of work and time just to get a free donut, you know. But,
kind of.
Okay. And that's about it. But happy National Donut Day. Unhealthy food forever if you're desperate for it.
Once a year you can. Well, and then there's Punchki Day, and those are similar to donuts.
Oh, that's. I think the fat content, the terrible fat content is even higher in Punchkis. So
oh, yeah.
Than the average donut.
We Polish people know how to do it. But and I heard something earlier in line with what you're saying that they have a new product out. It's a part croissant and part donut, and it's called a cronut, and apparently it's just delicious. So if you're out and about, maybe go to Tim Hortons and ask them for that.
Yeah, I like croissants. They're normally not either coated, you know, with any icing or filled, as the French would have them every morning for breakfast.
Sure.
I mean, you have croissant, and of course, when American students like myself were over there for one summer many decades ago, we got the croissants. We had to slather on butter and jelly,
sure.
Preserves on top of them, which was a little bit un-French, but it's they're still so flaky and soft. And
if they're done right, sure.
Yeah, yeah. I have a failing for a fault. Well, whatever. Very definitely a weakness for glazed raised donuts and apple fritters.
I'm with you on that.
In fact, last Friday I went over there at the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market event and had to get my fritter was Capnick Orchards. Always has fritters.
They're very good.
Yeah, so a little bit of apple in them, you know, and just that's healthy, right? The apple part.
Okay. You just keep telling yourself
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's right. All right, and the other big, or the several big events this weekend, so let's go through that because maybe you want to have some fun. Supposedly, even though it looks cloudy and threatening today, it's a little cooler, but no rain until Sunday is even in the forecast. So Dearborn Heights Spirit Fest has been going on since Wednesday. So let's give us the big story, Dennis.
Well, it's the same as every year. No, they honestly, yesterday they had the two things of note that were yesterday, and I was there so briefly. They had the Mayor's Walk, which though you know I'm pretty sure that at Ford Field. Don't we kick that off? Isn't there a Mayor's Walk
first day?
There?
Yeah, yeah.
Here, Jay, so you can look at that. That's the shuttle service for parking.
Oh, okay.
And then the other thing they had yesterday, and this is really, and Jay, you know me well enough that you can back me up. The Taste of the Heights Food Fest was one of my favorite parts. And what they do is from yesterday from 5:30 to 7, just prior to the Mayor's Walk, they had some of these Dearborn Heights businesses, these restaurants, Antonio's and Applebee's and Red Lobster was even there. They're all out there with a little bit of their like some of their signature food.
Yeah, but you missed that, folks. That was yesterday.
Right, I was
from
just
5:30 to 7:30.
Just giving a recap. There you go. Anyway, and it was that to me was the highlight. And as soon as
it was all in the festival grounds.
It's all right there.
Because on the 19th, which is a week from next Wednesday, the Dearborn area Chamber of Commerce is having a sort of a restaurant crawl in West Dearborn that evening, that Wednesday evening. And it's $20 a person.
Yeah, but you get
and they
so
give
much.
You shuttles. And what I thought was interesting is they'll even shuttle you. Normally it's just things around Michigan Avenue. They're going to get you down to Bangkok 96.
Yeah,
which is my one of my favorite Thai restaurants or any restaurant in this area. And is that an endorsement? No. Find out for yourself, folks. But I'm just saying is that so they are trying to be a little more inclusive. They go, I think, all the way from Andiamo up here to, and I don't think Big Fish, maybe Big Fish is in it too. I don't. Oh, where's the list?
Uh-oh.
I wasn't going to do it this week.
Okay,
it's
well,
not this week. But anyway,
it's okay.
So that's nice that they did it, and we didn't have time to mention these things upcoming tonight, though. Okay, amusement park rides start 3 p.m. to go to midnight. One price, $18 until 11 p.m. And after 11, is it free?
No, I think it's closed.
So they just keep the people in the buckets for another hour for no price?
I don't know.
We're not getting you down for another hour.
Is it 18? I thought it was a little bit cheaper.
It says $18, okay. One price. I don't know.
And maybe I think you just ride as much as you want at that point.
Mm-hmm. And from 5 to 7 today is the 7th annual Pizza and Pasta Fest. So there is food, but it's only pizza and pasta. And that's $8 an adult, children 12 and under $6. Although they should pay more. They eat a lot more, but sometimes. And senior citizens, only $6. Under three are free.
Nice.
So how much spaghetti can a three-year-old eat?
I don't know. I'll round some up from the neighborhood and we'll find out.
Yeah. So that's from 5 to 7 tonight. There's a Zumba dance exercise demo.
Yes.
For an hour. Crestwood High School pom-pom squad.
Okay.
But they're only from 6:50 to 7 p.m., so it must be a heck of a show for 10 minutes.
Well, I mean, you know, when you're during a game...
What can you do with pom-poms? I mean, there's only a limited number of things.
You can dance, and you can throw them in the air. And
up and down, sideways, sure. Back and forth.
Right. Yeah, I always think they should light them on fire. Wouldn't that be a little bit more dramatic?
Yeah, right. Let's save that for the movie version.
Okay.
And, of course, the ever-popular Steve King and the Diddleys. I hope I'm saying that right, Steve. From 7 to 10 p.m. 3 hours.
Yes.
Nonstop. They're going to diddle around. I'm sorry. They're going to, we have to look that word up. Diddleies.
Diddleys.
Yeah, Steve King and the Diddleys. They've been around for years and years and years. Well, they will play your favorite tunes from the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
They're going to show up, those pom-pom girls. They go on there for 10 minutes, and Steve King and the Diddleys, who I would venture to say are roughly their grandfather's age, are going to be there for 3 hours.
Yeah, well, the pom-pom girls are probably going to warm up the audience for the Diddleys, actually.
That's probably right.
But let's not forget to give credit to the Crestwood High School cheerleaders, because they can stay up later. I don't know. They're going to do 10 minutes from 8:30 to 8:40. So, fun will be had by all. You can walk around for free. I assume there's vendors of all kinds.
Absolutely.
Food vendors. Is there games of
it's
chance?
Everything. It's a smaller version of Homecoming. Sure.
Okay.
But it's been going on for years. I think this is the 27th.
Well, I don't remember that Homecoming. I mentioned the games of chance because of the dispute, the issue that came up about shooting hoops at the Arab International Fest.
Mm-hmm.
A fellow, I think he's a retired officer from Dearborn Heights, in fact. In his retirement, he's been specializing part-time for researching. He wrote a book on games of chance scams.
Okay.
Usually at these kinds of carnivals and festivals. Like, why can you never sink a basket even though you're a champion basketball player? It's because it's really obvious, and I showed a picture too, is that the hoops are not round. I mean, to where the basketball goes through, they're oval. So unless you hit it exactly in the center, it won't go through.
Right.
It'll bounce out. And so I guess if you knew about that, then it was fair, but you expect it to be a standard regulation, as the basketball is, size hoop.
Right.
And it's not.
And from where your vantage point is, when you're shooting, you can't see how it's not.
I can't. Right. Somebody behind that, either the carnival people or they've sued him for libel, you know, saying things about them that aren't true. But then it was dismissed because it was true.
Right.
He won in court. That was in one of these papers locally in the last couple of weeks. It was a small story, but I just think if there are games of chance, carnivals usually improve the odds in various ways, and they may not tell you about it. So I'm not saying they're all crooked, per se, and hopefully you just do it for entertainment.
Yeah, I don't know too many people that go to these carnivals to make a living.
And even things like, you know, where they use a gun to shoot, the sights are misaligned, or the barrels are a little off kilter and bent, intentionally, I mean, by the carnival people, so that even somebody who's really good at either basketball or shooting really can't win that much.
I had a friend that used to clean up at the Vegas nights at those church festivals, and I don't think their odds are any different than Vegas, you know?
Well, let's just finish up what's also going to happen tomorrow at the Dearborn Heights Spirit Fest, and Sunday, briefly. Tomorrow is 8th Annual Military Appreciation Day. I thought we just did that. I thought it was called Memorial Day. But that's what they're calling the theme of tomorrow.
And so people know that's a really big deal at the Spirit Fest. In fact, many of the dignitaries and people of you know, business and community leaders will be out there during that. And I think that's at 2 o'clock, is it not, Jay?
The salute to the military past and present is from 2 to 3, featuring the Ford Chorus.
Right.
So people from Ford Motor Company who sing as a big group.
Yeah.
It's a big group. We'll do that. There's a kids' kite-making workshop from 3 to 6. Polish dancers from 3:30 to 4. Dwayne Malinowski's polka band. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. 4 to 6. Men in Black are going to be there. You can tell them your UFO stories. No, they're a rock group, or a cover group, top 40, 70s, and 80s music from 7 to 10. They're the big music presentation. And, of course, the Pom Pom Squad will still be around after recovering from 8 to 8:10. I guess we're there on a little break. On Sunday at the Dearborn Spirit Fest, 50th anniversary day. This is their 50th year in existence as a city.
Sure.
As an intact, well, two-part city. They're separated, aren't they?
No, they're joined.
They're contiguous, but they got a strange shape.
That's right.
Because they sort of meander down west side of Telegraph.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, anyway.
But they have to be contiguous, yes.
They have to be, huh?
That was part of the...
Nobody told Pakistan about this.
50 years ago, that was part of the deal. They had to. Yeah, I went through an entire...
In Pakistan?
No, in the library of Dearborn Heights. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah. Well, on Sunday, they'll start with a pancake breakfast, which is kind of, they take that from Dearborn, from 9 a.m. to noon. And adults $5, seniors $4, and so on. There's a dance review, an Elvis impersonator, just one, but a tribute to Elvis from 2:30 to 4 on Sunday. Home Depot is going to do a craft shop. They show you how to measure twice before you cut once.
Oh, boy.
Perhaps from 4 to 6.
Sure.
50th anniversary ceremony with certificates awarded to 50-year residents. Oh, boy.
Wow.
That's from 4 to 4:30. British Beat is the music Sunday night from 5:30 to 9 p.m., 4.5 hours. No, 3.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
Still.
And then the Crestwood High School cheerleaders after they recovered from tonight, 10 minutes from 6:50 to 7. But a lot of fun. Whether you live in Dearborn Heights or not, go on over there and check it out. WHFR was invited to be part of that one year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And maybe 2 years, at least 1 year. But then our location, we discovered, was at the school. It was just south of the field. So none of us ever got to see anything in the Spirit Fest.
Okay.
But that was the only location we could set up.
Which brings me to the
point. So we had to walk like 5 minutes across the fence and through the woods. And
this is the Spirit Fest.
We didn't go back.
At Canfield.
Yes.
And it is just south of Ford Road. And we're looking at their map. And Jay and I, we know that this is actually west of Beach Daily.
West of Beach Daily, south of Ford Road, west of Beach Daily.
And then there are shuttles. And if you could
look
at that.
Well, I don't know where they come from, though. Where do you get them?
What do you mean?
Oh, okay. Down at the bottom of the story. All right. First of all, you have to park at the lighted, Dearborn Heights Post Office.
Okay.
Isn't every post office lighted?
It should be.
At night anyway. And the shuttle apparently is free, and it's every 10 minutes. Tonight it's from 5 to 11 p.m., sponsored by Waste Management.
Good.
So if you want to be
here we
taken
go.
Care of by Waste Management.
Take their shuttle.
I am waste. They'll give you little stickers or something. I am taken care of by waste. And tomorrow you're going to be taken care of by Comerica Insurance.
Does that make you feel safer?
You should.
Managed by waste? Or
I am insured. maybe you're not, though. And what if the shuttle crashes? Is Comerica going to pick up the slack there? Anyway, Sunday, Plant Moran, our famous efficiency experts. They've been here at the college and everywhere. And they come and investigate and suggest cost-cutting and efficiency ideas. At least here at the college, we incorporate at least one idea out of 100. So that's not really worth the money on them. But I think they are probably number one famous name in business and government in this area anyway for efficiency management. So there you go. That's the Dearborn Heights Post Office, which is on Ford Road.
Yeah, so on Ford Road, and I'm trying to think where.
What's the cross street? It doesn't tell you here.
No.
Thank you very much.
There's the old post office.
Well, you can't miss. I think it's on the north side of the street. I think I've been there once, right? The north side of Ford Road? Oh, Dennis doesn't know.
No.
He doesn't know. All right. Well, we'll get back to you.
I parked right there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Supposedly. Oh, here it is. Ford Road just east of the Heights Shopping Center.
Okay, which is where Target is.
Yeah.
And Antonio's.
So okay. Just east of that.
And you're saying it's on
the
north side.
So I think that's west of Beach Daily, though.
Yes, it is.
Definitely west of Beach Daily, but on the north side there, yeah. So east of the big shopping center there. Okay. All right, moving on. That's a big deal. Oh, well, we can't forget our favorite... real quick, and we'll go into some commentaries here from Jim Hightower, as we usually do on the Journal. Our friendly populist telling you things in clever ways that you need to know about life and government. Anyway, Vanguard Voices are going to premiere new works this Sunday. G. Kevin Dewey, our vocal music instructor here at Henry Ford Community College, and the Vanguard Voices are going to be doing a very challenging and refreshing. I always think that whether it's classical or modern or whatever, that new things are absolutely wonderful to experience. And they do a great job, of course, with these vocal performances, Vanguard Voices. And that's going to be this Sunday at Dearborn's Ford Community and Performing Arts Center at 4 p.m. There's a cost involved, but hey, don't worry about that. Just pay it. I mean, it's really, you know, it's a great theater, great auditorium, great acoustics. Vanguard Voices, 7 p.m. this Sunday. We'll tell you about the one-act plays going to be here on campus starting June 20th when we come back from Jim Hightower. But take a listen. The topics briefly are, first of all, biotech runs amok. And then the fact that IRS really should outlaw all of these strange organizations that get no taxes. Now, there's been some criticism that they were unfairly targeting conservative political social organizations. And, of course, if they're involved in politics, they really shouldn't get a tax credit. Nobody else does. If you're a lobbyist group, if you influence politics, you don't get a tax credit, just that clear. And so that's why they were investigating. And by the way, it isn't told anywhere except maybe Democracy Now. Only a third of the organizations that were these kinds of strange political, social organizations that wanted to be free of taxes were conservative. The other two-thirds were either unknown political positioning or liberal. So... oh, they went after concern. They went after all these strange organizations that were getting these tax credits, and yet they were really influencing and putting money almost directly into political campaigns and political ads on TV. And so that's just wrong. But you heard it here first if you didn't hear it anywhere else, and I'm sorry you didn't. The media is letting you down. Obviously, Fox News won't tell you that two-thirds of the organizations the IRS targeted for investigation were not conservative. So there. Okay. So Jim Hightower has a suggestion. Don't let any group like that even think about getting a tax credit. Listen how he says it. He's better than I am. Listen to his arguments.
When asked what the world needs, people tend to go all gushy and offer up such fuzzy stuff as world peace and more kindness. Yeah, but get real. Let's talk practicality here. What the world needs is something tangible, a new whiz-bang product that will delight all of us and make the world a brighter place. And I know just what it is. Ready? The world needs trees, shrubs, flowers, and other plants that glow in the dark. I don't mean glow dimly like a lightning bug or a luminous painting of Elvis on velvet, but a potted plant giving off enough light to read by. Wouldn't that be cool? Okay, actually, it'd be silly. But ready or not, luminescent plants are likely to be the next grand contribution to humankind by the genetic tinkerers who brought us such advances as tomatoes implanted with fish genes. This latest bunch of biotech Frankensteiners have given their mad science an oxymoronic title, synthetic biology. Their goal is to create new living things not found in nature by inserting man-made genes into the DNA of, say, a rose bush. Voila, a burning bush that'll light up your yard at night. Already, one of the plant tampers has formed a corporation called BioGlow to commercialize such things. Wouldn't you like your beautiful flowers to glow in the dark? He asks with a maniacal fervor. No, sir. First, they're beautiful as is. Second, there you narcissistic bioengineers go again, screwing with nature. This crew is recklessly spreading untested synthetic organisms around the world with no idea of how they'll mutate in nature or what malicious predatory organisms might result. That's not science. That's screwballism. This is Jim Hightower saying, for more information on why a little less hubris is warranted, contact Friends of the Earth at FOE.org.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
If you're covered in political stink, it might be prudent to avoid yelling dirty politics at others. Lately, a mess of right-wing Tea Party groups have been wailing nonstop that they've been targeted and harassed by aboministic IRS thugs. The groups certainly are right that it's abhorrent for a powerful agency to run a repressive witch hunt against any group of citizens just because of their political views. Liberals have certainly felt the lash of such official repression by assorted McCarthyite, Nixonite, Cheneyite forces over the years, and it must be condemned no matter who the victims. In this case, however, the right-wing groups were not targeted by government snoops and political operatives, but tagged by their own applications to be designated by the IRS as 501c4, quote, social welfare groups. This privileged status would allow them to take unlimited bags of corporate cash without ever revealing to voters the names of the corporations putting up the money. The caveat is that 501c4s are supposed to do social welfare work and cannot be attached to any candidate or party, nor can politics be their primary purpose. Forget what the rule says, though. Such renowned political players as Karl Rove and the Koch brothers have cynically set up their own pretend welfare groups, openly using them as fronts to run secret money election campaigns. Suddenly, hundreds of wannabes were demanding the special C4 designation, brazenly lying about their overt political purpose, with some even asserting that they were engaged in no political activity, even though their own websites bragged that they were. This is Jim Hightower saying, it was the group's stupidity and audacity that prompted the IRS inquiries, and their current hissy fit about the agency is really just a PR effort to let them continue their social welfare fraud.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're here today with the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views. And here's some more things to challenge your life and take you out of the ordinary. Coming up starting on June 20th, and that's a week from next Thursday, here on the main campus of Henry Ford Community College in Adrae Auditorium, we present, proudly present, the annual One Act Play Festival. And those performances go over 2 weekends, and it's different each weekend, so you might want to come back twice. There you go. Theater faculty member Jerry Jablinski serves as the artistic director for this, and it is a great teaching tool because, as he says here, it's a quote, it allows students to have their work performed in front of a live audience. And so to be considered for a directing slot, students must have taken a directing course here at the college, typically offered in the winter semester. That's the one that just ended. And then the teacher must recommend the student who has demonstrated potential. So in the first weekend, there's going to be one...
Are they separating it by comedy and drama?
Two, three, four, it looks like. No. No. Not this time, no. But anyway, there's four individual directors, a London Johnson, his show, and three other pieces. One and the other, another director is writer-director, Asanya Gales, Natalie Paris, and Jamie Pappas. So those are the four directors on the first weekend, which will be, again, starting Thursday the 20th, Friday, Saturday, and, of course,
matinee.
Sunday matinee. That's right. 8 p.m. on Thursday through Saturday, and Sundays at 2 p.m. All seats are $7, and seating is limited. I assume it's part of Theater of the Round up on the stage, as they usually do during this, so you get up close and personal. And
no.
And no?
They don't.
Not this time?
They didn't. When my wife was one of the directors.
Well, there you go. So we're not sure.
No.
Well, they wouldn't say seating is limited if they have the whole 300-seat auditorium, though.
True.
I don't know.
So maybe they are doing that.
But nonetheless, you can call 313-845-9817. That's 313-845-9817 for more information about the One Act Theater Festival. The second weekend, by the way, will feature performances of A New Freedom, an original one act written and directed by Jerry Jablinski himself. And to my knowledge, the first time that one of his plays, I didn't know he was a playwright, but I knew he was talented and a genius in many aspects of theater, but this is interesting because it's about the residents of a long-term substance abuse treatment center. He based some aspects of character and plot on his own personal experiences.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean he was abusing, but he was close to people.
Well, he worked at one, and that's where he got his experience.
Yes, okay. Dennis knows because he worked with closely, you and your wife, with Jerry Jablinski on these things. So
this festival is amazing. It really is. So the work that goes into it, and Jamie Pappas was one of the people, and my wife, one of the actors. So.
But, you know, it meets the criteria. I don't know if he was recommended by another teacher. He recommended himself, probably. Jerry Jablinski is local, and he has so many talents in theater, and he's been part of our production team and instructor here for many years. Now,
almost 30, I think.
Yeah, and primarily, in my mind, besides the One Act Festival, he's the prime mover on the children's theater performance that we do every fall for children in the schools and that come here to campus, and also for families during the Thanksgiving and early Christmas season. So don't miss that. Again, it won't be happening for not this weekend. Not next weekend, but a week from next Thursday, June 20th, it starts at Adria Auditorium, HFCC, Main Campus, the One Act Play Festival.
We'll see if we can get somebody in here next week.
Yeah, we've got to find out more about it and remind people about
that.
Sure. Also this weekend, hey, I know you all love the League of Women Voters, and I know that one of our activist listeners I see is now one of the officers of League of Women Voters. And in fact, a former board member, Mary Bougea, is from the Dearborn Public Schools, is now president of League of Women Voters. I think she was for a while, maybe last year also. And a man, Joseph Baraggio, is vice president. So just because it's League of Women Voters doesn't mean you have to be a woman to be part of that. So there you go. In fact, on the board of directors, there is at least one man out of the group, Donald Mack, and there's a Chris Sullivan /Rathwell, so that's a hyphenated last name. And it's hard to tell if Chris is a nickname or a man's name there, but in any event, it's going to have sort of a business meeting tomorrow, Saturday, okay, the 8th, at Habib's Cuisine, which you may remember was formerly called City Tavern. That's on the east side of Dearborn. Well, it's not far from City Hall, 14316 Michigan Avenue. And their business meeting starts at 11 o'clock. So maybe you want to join and listen to what the business is. And if you join, then you can become a volunteer. And it's also important in our local politics, not just the debates that they sponsor and make available in a variety of ways, sometimes on cable TV, but also the political information on their local website.
They're almost tireless, aren't they? They do.
Well, I hope they are, because we need more organizations that are for the good of all of us to, you know, support democracy.
Completely unbiased, and they put together as much information as they can, and then they distribute it here at this college. It's just an awesome organization.
Yeah, I know 2 years ago, both of the weekly papers that we know and love and hope continue here in Dearborn, they didn't do any interviewing with candidates at all. They merely used the paragraph or so responses that were gathered up by the League of Women Voters.
And, you know, and I'm not,
and that's okay, but you got to do more. Everybody needs to do more than just what one person does. You know, there may be a different kind of question you want to ask or should be asked, or you want to have them talk for a half an hour or more.
Especially considering the League of Women Voters, they limit them. I believe the written portion is down to 100 words or less.
Mm-hmm.
And then the spoken, like the verbal part of it, is just a couple minutes. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, to get more in-depth, I think the papers can get behind that.
Now, if you just like a nice lunch, the lunch is family style, which means they pass around the big platters, or maybe it's a buffet where you, I don't know, I'd probably... Family style was, sort of means they bring the platters to the tables.
I thought it meant you had little kids and dogs yelling in your ear.
No, like it just means you can't order an individual thing.
Okay.
But you could take more from one platter and less from another, I think. Anyway, it's $25 a person for this lecture with a local author, actually an HFCC instructor and director of the Honors Program, Nabil Abraham. He's going to speak about his book that he co-edited, published 2 years ago, but it's still for sale, Arab Detroit 9/11, Life in the Terror Decade. It's a very comprehensive review of those 10 years, you know, from 2001 to 2011, right here in the Detroit area. And this book, by the way, was chosen as the Outstanding Academic Book Award by some organization. And, of course, Habib's it's known for quality Mediterranean cuisine. So I'm not sure what the luncheon will include, but it's $25 a person. I know profits will go to the League of Women Voters, and that's a nice event by itself. That's what it costs. If you want to go to the public meeting, it's 1 o'clock. It's 11 o'clock, and then they'll shift into dining mode, and probably after the food, Nabil will speak about his book and his insights. And he's a very articulate man and a great academic, and we're very proud of him here at the college and the honors program too, of course. So that's tomorrow, 11 o'clock for the business meeting, League of Women Voters, and 12:30 for the luncheon and the presentation by Nabil Abraham. Everybody knows it's on Michigan near City Hall, Habib's Cuisine. West Dearborn Downtown Development Authority is having their second annual. Whoa, can you imagine? 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
This is starting a tradition.
Well, that's what makes it an annual.
I mean, this is a tradition, folks. Okay.
Second.
Well, yeah, will it last the third? Well, it's a fun idea. Second annual West Dearborn Block Party, sponsored by the West Dearborn Downtown Development Authority. It hits the streets, and I'm thinking, are they going to close Michigan Avenue in West Dearborn? No. No, don't worry about that. They're not doing that, even though they call it a block party. It's going to be down by the parking structures there in West Dearborn, okay, south of Michigan Avenue that nobody uses.
Newman Street?
No, further west than that, west of West Village.
Okay.
Okay. And the area in between, which was supposed to be a hotel,
right,
which was never built.
I remember that. Vaguely.
So Friday night kicks off. That is, that's tonight.
That's a couple hours.
Friday, June 7th, and Saturday, June 8th.
Right.
Okay, so it's tonight. I'm sorry. I thought I said tomorrow and Sunday. But no, it's tonight and tomorrow. So they're avoiding the rain. Tonight, it's Junction Groove and the Infatuations. I think that's one group. Junction Groove and the Infatuations. Maybe it's two groups, okay? And they're also going to have a food truck rally there. And by the way, it's free admission to the Junction Groove. So, but Saturday's cost, $5.
Ooh.
Features Kalido and then a group called Chemical Punks. which is spelled in strange ways. It's chemical is with a K instead of C-H, and punk, ch. You figure it out. And then various DJs are going to be there also spinning tunes. Do they spin platters anymore? Not necessarily. You might be on CDs or on some sort of digital something. And they're going to be on a separate stage right off Michigan Avenue. So as you're driving by, you could probably hear them for free. But don't slow down too much.
They'll charge you $5.
Yeah. Proceeds from this event will benefit the Dearborn Firefighters Burn Drive, which is always an important local charity to contribute to, and the Dearborn Education Foundation. So it's money goes to a good cause there.
Yes.
All ages welcome. Friday and Saturday night parties run from 5 to 7. Now, I thought that the food trucks are going to be there from 4 to 7.
On Friday? You mean today? Today. That's what we were told, yes.
Yeah, typically. So I don't think the food trucks, you can count on being there later.
No.
But and they don't say there, of course, in the press release. It's the e-newsletter from the City of Dearborn. You can go to cityofdearborn.com and read what I'm reading, which is not complete information. Okay.
Well, they do their best.
Let's see. Anything else here coming up? It is on the website about some events coming up later this summer that the City of Dearborn sponsors, like Concerts in the Park, or that's by the Bryant Library, Muirhead Plaza, as they call it, right between the library and Buddy's.
Is that ongoing? That's ongoing, though.
There's well, starting here. June 14th, yeah. Which is
next week.
Next week, Friday.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And a number of different groups. You can look next week, Friday, Byron in Motion.
Okay.
Is that the poet? And then Jazz on the Avenue schedule, that's East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority, starts July 10th, so not for a month or so there. And that is moving to City Hall Park, as long as it's still City Hall.
Right, right.
And the first performance, of course, he's always over there every summer, Alexander Zanchik and friends.
The flautist.
He'll be the first one. Yes, he'll be flouting his band.
What was the one? Byron in Motion?
Byron in Motion.
And then there's Homer Sitting. Sorry.
Okay.
My highbrow humor.
Moving on. Okay, I think we got all the events. Oh, boy, do we have the events here. Politically. Whoops, what happened? I'm still on mic here, but my headphones pulled out. I moved around too fast.
He's just doing, you're doing jumping jacks.
If you can't hear yourself, are you really saying anything?
Trust me, Jay, we can hear you.
Okay. Console set study session for Dearborn Administrative Center. That's the new City Hall. What a segue. That was by accident.
That was perfect.
And this is on patch.com today. I think, yeah, and 9:30 p.m. He stays up late. And it's public. It's open to the public. So if you have a comment about the new City Hall, you know, we already bought the building, you know, but if you want to make a comment or hear about plans for moving in or using that Severstall money, that $8.5 million from heaven, to buy the old City Hall for ArtServe and give it to them for free.
Technically, that's the way it looks.
I'm not sure all the topics are going to be brought up, but maybe that will. And it is a public meeting, and it starts at 6 p.m. in the council chambers of the current City Hall, Dearborn City Hall, 13615 Michigan Avenue. So that's June 20th, and that is a week from Thursday.
Right. A week from yesterday, right?
2 weeks from
yesterday. 2 weeks from yesterday, right.
Mm-hmm. So maybe you can get this in and still come and see the play at 8 o'clock. No, probably not.
Probably not.
This could go on for hours if they have if they allow people to make comments.
Well, that's what my gut says. But, you know, in Dearborn Heights, there is a time limit. A lot of people don't know that, but you have 3 minutes if you want to say something, and they time it. They really do.
Yes, it does say here that the Severstall payment, about $8.5 million, what will be done with that? Will that be used for this move-in or what? That's going to be discussed.
On the docket or the agenda or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that could be a real hot time in the old town there.
You know what's interesting is there's enough people interested in that, and I'm thinking specifically of Kristen Taylor, that there will be quite a bit of information after the fact, information and analysis. There's quite a few people have stuff to say about, especially the Severstall money.
Try to do this briefly. We have about 7 minutes before top of the hour when Highway 61 will be the best of the blues for 4 hours this afternoon, WHFR. Joanne Kraczynska expected in here at that time. Two McDonald's. This is from Wednesday's Press and Guide. Two McDonald's restaurant outlets in Dearborn have stopped serving halal chicken. Remember, that is those are the two that are owned by the same person, I believe, and were sued and had to pay $700,000 for, and it might have been a mistake, but maybe it wasn't, but late night they accidentally served at least one person halal chicken McNuggets that were not halal. They were not prepared in the religiously appropriate way to get that designation. By the way, all it's required, it's the same chicken, but God's name must be invoked, before an animal providing meat for consumption, this chicken, is slaughtered. So if you don't say Allah be praised or something before you kill the chicken, it's not halal. And I'm not making fun of that. I'm just saying that literally is something, I'm not sure the exact words, but that's what gets the halal reference. My understanding is that kosher is a little more scientific. Okay. To get the kosher designation, there has to be some evidence of purity, that it's all beef or something. It doesn't mean it's more healthy, but it's more pure beef rather than pork. There can't be pork in there or something.
At all.
I don't think so, but again, I'm not an expert on halal or, as it's quite apparent, kosher. But the point is that no other McDonald's restaurant in the whole world sells halal chicken anyway. And if you want to boycott that, the fact that they stopped doing it, or the fact that they at least one time, sold McNuggets that weren't halal,
I'm positive.
They're already suffering for that. I mean, they already have to pay the $700,000,
right,
class action suit out. You know, I just have to say, and no disrespect here, McNuggets are not the most healthy food in the world, folks, anyway. So whether you're Muslim or not, you know, I'm not recommending them, but I'm not saying you shouldn't eat it if you want to. Okay. So, but I'm just saying there's no other McDonald's in the whole world that does halal anyway.
And there won't be now at all.
Right. But if you want to be a healthy Muslim, I don't think you'd want to eat that kind of deep fat fried stuff too much anyway. But of course, that's your own choice. The other issue that I wanted to sneak in here is an editorial written by our friend, a local provocateur from the Democratic Party side, and that is, of course, Morris Goodman. You guessed that. Yes, good for you. And it's in last Sunday's Press and Guide. He actually endorses, and he's like the only person at the paper, and he doesn't even work for the paper. I think he told me he doesn't even get paid by the Press and Guide, so you can't blame them for his opinions, right? In his column last Sunday, he actually recommends Jane Ahern, that's A-H-E-R-N, Colette Richards, and also Kristen Taylor, that's Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-Y-N, who was on our show 2 weeks ago here for her interview. These three are the three women challengers that are running for city council. And as he says, all of them have been active in the city's civic affairs, and each would bring vigor, energy, and a new perspective to Dearborn's legislative branch. He says, I'm not anti-incumbent. Five of the present sitting council members are running for re-election, four of whom I think are perfectly fine gentlemen. Yes, the incumbents running are all men, and it's no coincidence that this column supports three women. He says, about the fifth incumbent, Tom Tefelsky, I have nothing to say about Mr. Tefelsky. But then he goes on about some things Tefelsky was responsible for, somewhat directly, in his position as council chair or pro temp. Marge Powell was sort of kicked off the Civil Service Commission. In fact, he was her lawyer trying to get some justice there, which, in terms of reinstatement, didn't happen anyway. I'm not sure where that lawsuit is. Syed Deep was kicked off the Zoning Board of Appeals, or at least censored anyway. And Valerie Murphy Goodrich was Dearborn's former Human Resources Director. And, they were all booted from their jobs, he says. So they're gone. And it was essentially because they would not do what Tefelsky wanted them to. Now, that's Morris Goodman's opinion. And remember, all opinions that you've heard during this hour and any hour on the new WHFR Journal are not necessarily those of Henry Ford Community College. Mm-mm. So what do you think? So he says, I have nothing to say about Mr. Tafalsky. And then he goes on for two paragraphs and says things that are that could be not complimentary if you liked Marge Powell, Syed Deep, or Valerie Murphy Goodrich and the jobs that we're doing. So were they unfairly booted or appropriately removed? You decide, as they say. He mentions briefly that Jane Ahern is a Dearborn resident for 19 years, earned a Bachelor's of Science in Political Science from the University of Michigan, Dearborn. She was VP of Student Government and was selected by her peers to be the commencement speaker. Wow. Since making Dearborn her home, she served on the 2010 City of Dearborn's Community Task Force, became treasurer of the Highland Neighborhood Association 29. She's a regular participant in the Umbrella Dearborn Federation of Neighborhood Associations. And she was also part of the Dearborn Democratic Club as president since 2009 and treasurer for the 12th Congressional District Democratic Organization. That if Morris Goodman is a Democrat, and I think he's told us before he is, that might be why he knows her well at those same affairs and has noticed her expertise. Colette Richards, a native Dearbornite, is an independent businesswoman who's been active for many years with the Dearborn Public Schools. She was president of the Dearborn Schools Special Ed Parent Advisory Committee 2006 to 2010, and while also serving as president of the Dearborn Parent Teachers Council for several years. Richards also has been leader of the American Cancer Society's Dearborn Relay for Life on the planning committee, and as a 7-year team captain. She's also found the time to be a 3-year member of the Dearborn Rotary Board of Directors, a 2-term appointed member of Dearborn City Beautiful Commission, and the 2010 president of the Crowley Park Neighborhood Association. As he sums up, Colette Richards is one involved person. So very much involved. Kristen Taylor, we've talked about her here. We interviewed her, and I think if you just go to WHFR.fm, our website, click on talk shows, click on journal. I've even typed in the names of the big interviews from previous shows. Like today, I won't do it because we don't have a person to be interviewed, just Dennis and myself, so I don't put a special designation there. But click on talk shows and then click on WHFR Journal and select the date you want to hear. You can either play it from the website or download the MP3 file to your own computer to play over and over again anytime, day or night. And Kristen Taylor well described her background, and we will be asking other challengers next Friday. Dennis is working on the schedule, and I can't tell you definitely who they'll be, but we hope to have two council candidates here. Don't believe Jane Ahern and Colette Richards are going to be next Friday, but I will put it up on our website shortly before, if not certainly after, who's going to be interviewed on the journal. So we want to thank you for listening today. It's WHFR Dearborn. Waiting for Joanne to arrive, and just had a couple of more things here to follow up on. And let's see. Well, especially in the Times Herald, take a look at this one. And if you don't get the Times Herald as well as the Press and Guide, and you don't read them regularly, shame on you. Your city depends on your participation and your knowledge of events, and this show is not enough. Well, I hope we challenge you to find out more. And talk to your friends and your neighbors and go to some of these, volunteer for some of these local organizations, just one at least, you know, and do a little bit more than just voting in elections, which is important. An educated vote is very important, but participating in some other process along the way, even just if you know one of the candidates and you think they're great, help them, give them some time, make phone calls, distribute yard signs. Whatever they need, you know, might just be a one-time 1 or 2 hours you give them. But, you know, that it all helps to keep democracy going and to keep us on the right track. Dearborn Consul